More than 2,000 people have applied for pardons from the Justice Department, among them American-born Taliban soldier John Walker Lind, media mogul Conrad Black, and junk bond king Michael Milken. The Constitution grants the president absolute authority on this point. Presidential pardons are not subject to consultations and cannot be reviewed. In practice, the Justice Department does review applications and issues recommendations. But the president doesn't have to ask in advance, and once made, the decision cannot be reversed. You'll recall that President Ford pardoned former President Nixon. In the past, presidents have granted larger numbers and sometimes more controversial pardons on their way out of office. 8 years ago, for example, President Clinton pardoned fugitive Mark Rich, the husband of a major political contributor, on his way out of office. President Clinton also commuted the sentence of Kemba Smith. She was serving 24 and a half years on charges of conspiracy, money laundering, and making false statements. She's written an op-ed arguing for the wisdom of pardons for USA Today and joins us. And she's with us by phone. Kemba Smith, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you very much, Neil, for having me.
And tell us a little bit about your case.
Basically, I was sentenced to 24 and a half years in federal prison as a first-time nonviolent drug offender. I had the support of my family. I was my parents' only child. My background, middle class, went to predominantly white schools growing up, went to college and kind of got caught up in the wrong environment and hooked up with the wrong guy. And things kind of escalated from there. The abuse the relationship was abusive. I stayed in relationship with him for over 3.5 years. I'm not one of those people that says, oh, I didn't do anything. I was innocent. But the things that I did do didn't warrant me to receive a 24-and-a-half-year sentence as a first-time nonviolent drug offender. And luckily, organizations such as the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, Congressman Bobby Scott, the ACLU, FAM, the Sentencing Project, several people rallied behind my parents because they advocated for my situation after Emerge magazine had published an extensive long article about my case. And so ultimately it was this big push, Free Kemba Smith movement, that were ordinary people that signed letters and wrote petitions. But at the same time, I was not seeing any relief at all through the courts. And so my only relief was to receive executive clemency.
And you were caught up in the mandatory sentencing guidelines. The judge had no option, but once you'd been convicted, to sentence you to that time. And we'll talk about whether those guidelines are fair or not in just a moment. Nevertheless, what was it like to spend that much time in prison? You knew people were working on your behalf outside, but nevertheless, what was it like to be there and get the phone call?
Yeah. Well, I also gave birth to my first and only child, Armani, while I was incarcerated. 5 minutes after I gave birth to him, the U.S. Marshals came into my hospital room and said that my leg had to be handcuffed and shackled to the bed at all times, and I had to have two COs guarding me. So my main focus was being able to come home to raise my son and to finish college and move on with my life, not knowing if it was actually going to happen because my release date was 2016. And it's interesting, the conversation that you had previous with me coming on, mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, I was, you know, a product of a casualty of the war on drugs. And, you know, having women that were standing around me as I was packing up my things, once they did give me the word that I had received executive clemency, and when I walked out of that prison, women wishing me well and everything. But once I did come out, there was a sense of survivor's guilt that I still experience today, because there are hundreds of other Kemba Smiths, male and female, that are first-time nonviolent drug offenders who are serving horrendously long sentencing. And I'm just a strong advocate in pushing for sensible drug policy.
We're talking with the Kemba Smith. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. The presidential pardon, again, this is not going to come up for review. Once you get it, you're free and clear. Nothing can happen to you. Nevertheless, it is a very cumbersome and arbitrary and sometimes capricious process. There has to be a better way.
Yes. I'm still on the air. I'm sorry.
Yes, you're still on the air.
Yes, it is. And it's not something that's very, you know, easily accessible. And I still talk about how I believe that it was a miracle, because there were only a few of us that did receive it just before President Clinton went out of office. And I'm really hoping that President Bush will have some compassion before he leaves, because there, like I said, there are hundreds of others. And had it not been for the NAACP and other people, in particular Congressman Bobby Scott. There were several things that were going on behind the scenes with trying to push this particular effort. And, you know, I was one of the fortunate ones, but there are hundreds of others that don't have that type of support that deserve the same thing that I received, to be able to come home, to raise their child, to be productive members of society, you know. But again, unfortunately, the policies are still in existence today, the ones that put me incarcerated me for 24, to receive a sentence of 24 and a half years.
And we should point out, you did get out and did finish your education, and I don't know if any of us ever finish our education. You graduated from college.
Yeah.
And you're raising your son, and are things going well for you?
Things are going very well. I'm recently engaged. Thanksgiving, my boyfriend proposed to me, but still just trying to remain committed to why I believe God brought me out of prison, was to put a human face to the issue. And luckily, my son understands what it is that I do, because I travel and speak nationally. I'm not only advocating these issues, but also encouraging young people to make healthy choices so they won't wind up in the same situation that I was in, and how easy it is to get caught up. But, you know, for me, life is good, but it's a hard, tremendous burden still having friends, associates who are still there, who had the same exact situation.
The hostility that so many people have for people in your situation, people caught up in the drug trade one way or another, that's one of the things that makes it very difficult to move against the mandatory guidelines.
Yes, and, you know, I constantly am in, you know, meetings with staffers, and I've lobbied on the Hill with FAM and other groups. And there's still that strong resistance, because, you know, if there's any movement, you know, the particular representative would be considered, you know, soft on crime. But my whole thing is that when you look at the overall picture, the economics in it, the federal government was going to pay over 25 today. I'm sure it's over $30,000 to keep me incarcerated until the year 2016, where that money could be going elsewhere. I was counted in the U.S. Census in prison in Danbury, Connecticut, when those resources probably should have gone to the area where I would have returned to coming out of prison. There's so many collateral consequences and effects to this war on drugs, where I just would hope that people would look at the bigger picture and this senseless and waste of money and the waste of people. One of the hurtful things while I was incarcerated was just feeling as if I was wasting away in prison. I understood that I made a mistake, and especially in regards to a relationship who I fell in love with. But for me to receive a 24 and a half year sentence for that, you know, luckily I was able to come out. I got counseling.
And Kemba Smith, thank you for your time today, and congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you.
Kemba Smith, the founder of the Kemba Smith Foundation, an organization that advocates for youth, with us today on By the Phone. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News.